Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Former Representative Bob Steele represented Connecticut's 2nd District from 1970 to 75. Congressman, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm going to be in Albany on Thursday talking about Connecticut's experience with casinos and the lesson here and the lesson from what's happening around the country for New York and the Albany areas they consider casinos.
And so the experience in Connecticut has not been favorable.
Well, Connecticut's two casinos, Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun, which most people around the country seem to be at least partially familiar with, were initially spectacular successes. You know, they drew about 60% of their customers from out of state. They created 20,000 casino jobs here, and they sent hundreds of millions of dollars to the state treasury in Hartford in shared slot revenue. And that success was a major factor in other states around the country, including New York and Massachusetts and Pennsylvania, deciding to legalize casinos in order to cash in on the casino gambling opportunities.
And when that was happening, you said initially it was a great success. Have you seen a decline in revenue in Connecticut?
Well, we've seen a major decline. Connecticut's casino success was built on the fact that the nearest casinos at the time the Connecticut's casinos were built were 250 miles away in Atlantic City. But that situation has changed dramatically. In 1992, for example, there were only 10 casinos in the 12 states that comprised the Northeast. There was one in Connecticut, the Foxwoods, and 9 in Atlantic City. Now there are 57 casinos in the Northeast, and in a couple of years there could well be 77 based on those that are under consideration.
So when you speak to the people in Albany, what are you going to tell them?
Well, as a result of all this increasing competition, Connecticut's casino revenue is now down 35% from its peak, and it's projected to continue to decline. Connecticut's casinos are laying off workers. They're turning increasingly to part-time jobs in order to reduce wage costs and eliminate benefits. And Foxwoods has now defaulted on some $500 million worth of its debt. And New Jersey's casinos are doing even worse. Their revenue is down 45%. In Delaware, the state legislature is considering a $20 million bailout for their three casinos in order to forestall layoffs.
So it's foolishness to proceed, you're saying.
Well, that's indeed what I'm saying. And that's just the economic side. I mean, you have to look at the social side
Let's hear about that.
Really complete the picture. And here in Connecticut, for example, the casinos have created a pervasive gambling culture in the southeastern region of the state. They've sharply skewed the region's economy here toward low-paying service jobs. And they've resulted in a sharp spike in the number of problem and pathological gamblers.
We've heard that by doing this and legalizing gambling, we would take it out of the purview of the mob. Do we have any evidence either way on that one?
Well, there's no question that that's what happened in Nevada, but we've got an entirely different situation today. What legalization does, whether it's legalizing land-based casinos or legalizing online gambling, et cetera, it vastly increases the number of gamblers. You know, one of the most interesting findings from a study we did here in Connecticut just a few years ago, back in 2009, was that there had been a 400% increase in the number of arrests for embezzlement in Connecticut, which is a rate of increase 10 times the national average.
Wow.
In fact, my tax collector in Ledyard, Connecticut, was one of the embezzlers. She stole over $302,000 in order to play the slots at Foxwoods, stole them from tax receipts. There have been so many arrests for embezzlement in southeastern Connecticut, in fact, that a columnist for the New London Day, the region's main newspaper, described southeastern Connecticut as the embezzlement capital of America. And you know, if you look nationally, we now know that almost all of the new regional casinos that they're popping up everywhere depend on a business model that relies on the repeat business of local, middle, and low-income people who primarily play the slots. And we know that pathological and problem gamblers generate about 30% to 60% of total casino revenue. And we know that living close to a casino greatly increases the chances of developing a gambling addiction. So, you know, whether you look at it from an economic point of view, social point of view, public health point of view, it's very difficult to believe that anyone who knows the facts would want to bring a casino into their community.
Now, that's very interesting what you just said. You're a politician. You've been a politician anyway. You know full well what goes on in the minds of many politicians. Our governor, Andrew Cuomo, is pushing like crazy for this. What could he be thinking, considering everything you're telling us? Doesn't he know all of this?
Oh, he's thinking very, very short term. He's thinking of a political benefit. I mean, look at the way New York, for example, framed the question of whether or not to change your constitution and allow these new casinos. Anyone who didn't know what I've just said, and most people don't know what I've just said, would read the language in the referendum, and vote for the casino, because the language basically said we want to legalize casinos in order to lower property taxes and increase economic development in the state of New York. Very, very difficult to vote against a proposition like that. But I think the more people know, the more they're going to dislike what is about to happen in New York. And each community has some say, at least in voicing their view of whether it should happen or not. It's not like Massachusetts. You can't actually vote yes or no and determine whether a community is going to accept a casino. But nonetheless, I think that the more opposition there is, the more Governor Cuomo and other politicians will begin to sit back and say, wait a minute, what have we missed here? Maybe we better look at this thing again.
Now, you wrote a novel about this, The Curse of Big-Time Gambling, Seduction of a Small New England Town. Did it end not well, the novel?
It ended not well for some people, that's for sure. Unfortunately, it's ended quite well here, for at least initially, for the people who own the casinos.
And you are speaking for the First Unitarian Universalist Society of Albany about their casino opposition. And what is your affiliation with that group?
Well, I've simply been invited by the group to come to Albany on Thursday evening. I think it's at 6:45, and speak about Connecticut's experience, what's happening in the nation with casinos, and to give people some of the facts and help educate people about what they can expect, and answer questions.
Congressman Bob Steele, congratulations on your hard work. I always admire people of passion, and you're obviously one. And we hope that everybody will come and hear you.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to talk to you.